Greetings. You've entered into the Paracosmos where anything is possible and everything is probable.
They are bombed.
They are a literally kaiju-sized, it's a master mold, isn't it?
It's a master mold, a kaiju sentinel insect. I believe it appeared in Age of Extinction. X is for Extinction. Yeah. Was the comic.
This thing is dropping huge blasts, which are just bombs. And you're just seeing mutants everywhere getting wiped out. Before this, Cable shows up to Madeline as an adult.
Yep. And you hear, you get a little back and forth with Madeline and Jean, where their psyche is kind of breaking with Cable coming back through. Yeah. And they're seeing small flashes of what's going to happen. And we saw this happen in episode 1 and 2 when Jean / Madeline tried to get inside of Tolliver's head. And it played Happy Nation. And showed you some of what happens at this Genosha gala thing. But you don't see Cable. You just see like a sand guy, like a shadowy sand figure. But it's Cable. Yeah. You know, so they gave us some foreshadowing, which was very cool. But then Cable comes in and he's like, you got to go. Like, we got to get out of here. They're coming. He's coming. And this is not the first time we've heard we and he. So there's at least two people behind everything.
He also, as he's pulled away, apologizes because he knows what's about to happen and he didn't stop it in time. So he knows what the island of Genosha is about to live through. And all he can do is say sorry because the time warp is pulling him back to his
time. And then
she
is obliterated.
Yep. She's just
destroyed. At the moment, Madeline is dead.
Yeah, at the moment. So this is where things get crazy. Obviously, the X-Men are fighting, going at it. Well, not all X-Men. They didn't all go. So just all the mutants are fighting, right? We get a lot of very...
They're trying to escape.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of gut-wrenching scenes because it's just total destruction. I mean, people are not surviving this. Magneto's trying to hold it down, but eventually he gets killed as well. And his death is tragic because of multiple things. He is blocking Rogue and Gambit with a bunch of debris and not letting Rogue come save him from the blast because he knows that Rogue will come save him and Gambit will follow Rogue to hell.
And
they'll both die with him. So he bars them off. Leech is holding on to him. He looks up to Magneto. I do think Leech looks up to Magneto as the savior.
Yes, because the X-Men have not exactly been good to the Morlocks.
No, and Magneto brought the Morlocks to Genosha in episode 2. And he was like, why was this not done sooner? And I agree. Why was it not
Don't make me agree with Magneto. Shut up.
I know. Pretty
for
rough.
The streets. For the streets.
For the streets. Anyway, so Leech's holding on to him, and then he knows that no matter what, they're done for. So he just tells him to not be afraid, and they die because they are blasted away. Yes. This enrages Rogue. Rogue busts out of that debris. She is crying. She is pissed. I was like, girl, same. When I get real mad, the tears.
Yeah, when the thing that's been paving the street gets blown up, you know?
Yeah.
What a gut reaction.
So she is going right at the Sentinel, and obviously it sees her coming, and it's about to blast her. Gambit, like, sees her take off and sees his motorcycle, gets on his motorcycle, chases after her, charges it, kinetically charges it, and throws it at Rogue.
Just whams her. With this
knocks
bike,
knocks her out of the way of the
explodes
blast.
Explodes her, so like into a like deactivates the Sentinel. It no longer detects a threat. Like, she is on the other side of the island.
Yeah, which thank God he did that.
Yeah.
At this point, the Sentinel looks away, and this is when we see the rooftop with all the mutants and Kurt,
my boy.
I was saying this. He literally takes a second to look around the roof and how many mutants are on the roof. He knows he can't save everybody. He stays.
So we talked about this the other night after I finally got to watch it. And that made a lot of sense that, like, Kurt can't save everyone. So he would rather just go down with the ship than save only a couple people, because that's just his devout religious way. Right.
Yep.
Like he will not abandon anybody.
Yep. If he can't save everyone, he's not saving himself.
But I saw, as a part of this breakdown video today, a new theory that made me go, oh, because they did release a promo for the other half of the season, and it does feature Nightcrawler working with Wolverine. And then it also features a scene of Nightcrawler working with Gambit from upcoming episodes. So we do know some hokey-dokey is going to happen, which we could have guessed. But right. So I don't think that the people, the mutants on the rooftop died. Because when Gambit charges, originally I thought that they killed everybody. Because the blast goes to happen and they all light up to get vaporized. And then Gambit stops it.
I see your bet and raise it.
Yeah, as soon as he does that, that sentinel turns around and comes right back at him.
Motherfucker?
Threat detected. I don't remember if it called him an Omega threat.
So there's some confusion with that because at first it says Omega threat and it's on Rogue and Gambit. And then it pans to Magneto. Mm-hmm. But that's a lot of confusion because there are comic books for Gambit is an Omega level mutant based on how his powers develop. So very possible that they were hinting at a future thing, a little foreshadowing. But yes, Gambit is running at the Sentinel on the ground.
He's running at it. Like long pole jumping. He is 10 miles away. And he says, charging.
Gambit, see your bet and raise it, which stops the Sentinel from blasting those mutants. And he goes and the Sentinel blasts the ground and it breaks up. And he uses the debris to get higher in the air.
Yeah.
And he jumps at the Sentinel.
He's got his bow staff out. He's just ready to go.
And the Sentinel gets him in the side. Yeah.
And he's kabobbed.
Yep, kabobbed real good.
And he is shocked. He is so surprised that he got kabobbed. But that animation for the fight was very, very Final Boss level anime. You know, this whole episode was very, very anime inspired with how they did the fights and stuff. Even down to the sound effects of when he gets the squooshed into the side, you know, that was a very much an anime Code Geass.
An anime
moment. Yeah, very Jaeger. That's what was pretty much happening.
That's what it reminded me of. A little human going after a Titan. I was oh yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. So goes after him, gets stabbed in the side, and then gets pulled up close, and Gambit acts dead.
He shows defeat, and the Sentinel says threat neutralized.
So Gambit then uses his wound to charge the entire kaiju size Sentinel and says, what is he? Hold on, I'm not gonna get this wrong. I know the last two words, but let me.
The name's Gambit, mon ami. Remember it.
Yeah, he says, the name's Gambit, mon ami. Remember it, and then blasts this Sentinel, which does kill
this kaiju. This is the mother, too, that is dropping Sentinels from the belly.
This is the Sentinel.
This is the master mold at big bad.
Yeah, and nuclear bomb level
sentinel. It.
Yeah, which
and himself
crazy. Yeah, yes. He does have to kill himself in the process because he takes the blast
and
to the face as well, and half his hair goes missing.
And his shirt.
And the episode ends with Rogue holding Gambit, crying, saying, "I can't feel you."
Yep.
Which I would like to just compliment Lenore in this, that I actually think she dropped Rogue's voice a little bit. Because I know that Lenore, the voice actress for Rogue, has been dealing with some grief with her father and stuff that she was talking about. And I actually think she channeled her grief and dropped the Rogue voice a bit. And I think I Can't Feel You was really her crying.
I think you're right. And I believe
that. I think she was crying in studio.
Voice acting. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Most of the time they record this at their houses, too. They very rarely go into a studio for voice acting. So I'd imagine that doesn't make it more emotional to do when you're at home, you're alone doing this.
Yeah. Either way. Yeah. It's the country twang accent was gone and it was just, I can't feel you. And it was cracking and crying. Mm-hmm. And I was oh, awesome.
Gambit's never going to know that you weren't for the streets in the end.
The fact that
Gambit died to save your life.
Gambit does all of this under the thought of, I can only be her friend.
Mm-hmm.
And under the thought of, at least I can save her. At least.
Well, I think he was still also just truly believing that, he's always just going to be the scoundrel. And the scoundrel is never going to get the girl. And he's never going to be the hero.
Yeah.
And that is a good callback to the original series where where Charles tells him, you know, like, you play the scoundrel, but when are you gonna acknowledge that you're the hero too?
Yep.
And this he dies the hero.
Big time. And this is also
saves the mutants.
A giant, even from the comic books, a giant arc circle of Gambit's whole, when he was leaning more villain in his original start to his story, he got the Morlocks killed. Like, he is the reason a Morlock genocide happened with Sinister. Now he's the reason that a ton of Morlocks get to walk away.
Yeah.
Like, complete 180. Redemption.
This was just such a good episode.
100%.
Like, this series is so good, but this episode itself is probably some of the best stuff that Marvel has put out since WandaVision. Maybe even with just the exception of WandaVision.
I think this outdoes WandaVision, but you know me.
I can see that. I believe that, you know. But WandaVision was so good.
I know.
The way that it was written was just so pure. And it's crazy to think, too, that they fired the show creator and one of the writers on this the week it premiered.
Yeah, that is really crazy.
He had an animated cameo in this, too, on the rooftop with Nightcrawler when the Sentinel was about to kill him all. He was there, and they fired him right before, and then they won't tell us why. And look what a good thing he created. So whatever he did, it had to have been particularly bad.
Yeah, I know. I'm definitely
fired from this. And, you know, Marvel is sitting over here kicking themselves right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the episode is...
It just ends, you know? It just goes to black. Yeah, like, you're just...
That's it. Like, I cried.
And unfortunately, this is an animated show, so I cannot discuss lighting techniques that evoke so much emotion out of me. But just the way that they did the cut scenes when Rogue gets that first blast and gets knocked out and it's the confusion and stuff, you really get a firsthand feel for what's happening. The way that they do that, how they have her get tumbled through walls and debris and stuff, and then it has all that, like, cut to black, the noise distortion and stuff. So good.
Yeah.
Like, just so good.
It broke my heart. Mm-hmm. It absolutely...
I was just sitting on the couch eating pasta in shock. Zach walked by, and I was just sitting there, like, mid noodle bite, and was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Kill everybody?
It didn't?
And then you have the other X-Men at home that just, like...
They
know it's happened because they're seeing it on the news, but they don't know what happened. They can't get a hold of nobody.
Yep. That's it. Just they know what happened.
And you know Scott is going to be like, I am so relieved that Magneto got blasted away. Do we really have to revive him?
Come on, Nathan. Don't come back and help.
Do you think that this is going to be the start of their, like, Krakoa era?
I don't know. It could be.
Because, like, it's different in the comics. You know, like, Krakoa is kind of created differently. But I could see them trying to simplify it in the show. Because it's such a, like... heavy storyline. Because, I mean, as soon as Magneto gets appointed, chancellor or something of Genosha and Krakoa, like, they literally murder the Scarlet Witch with the trial of Magneto. That'd be super sick if they did that in this, though, because that was, like, kind of brutal to read. And you know how I feel about being sad on television.
Yeah. I think it's going to go, here's the most high probability, I think. I think the highest probability is that there's a reason we saw Cable in the beginning of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cable's going to come back. I think he's going to change the course for everything that happened.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
However, I do think that's the easy way out.
Of course.
I think a much cooler storyline would be that Gambit is dead. But if we, Magneto's gone, like, all this stuff. I think if Apocalypse came back as a reaction to this, because he, like, wants to end humans too.
So, like, that's kind of one of the things that I saw floating around, too, after this episode, was that they do believe that the he is coming and the we have plans for him from Sinister about Cable is referring to Apocalypse.
Apocalypse,
that they are working with Apocalypse. And that he will get his horsemen.
Yes. And if they do his horsemen, Gambit in the comics was Death, the horseman for Apocalypse. He went willingly in the comics.
He's for the streets.
Oh my God. Was wild, but he, it'd be interesting to see them do it to where Gambit comes back as Death. So that, like, gives him life again. And then Rogue has to go through the trial of getting Gambit out of that.
Mm-hmm.
which you can come back from being a horseman. It's happened again and again countless times, but it would be cool to see. Like, I think at this point, right, like, we've seen enough of Gambit pining for Rogue, and he has definitely proven himself. I think now we need to see Rogue pine for Gambit.
Yeah, we need to see that, like, it's not one-sided.
Yeah. Like, because obviously, she was...
does feel one-sided, where she's just, like, she likes that this person is giving her the attention. But then as soon as somebody else comes around that can give her physical attention, she just goes with that, you know? So it does cheapen it and make it feel like she's not 100% committed to Gambit, even though we know she is.
Right, exactly. So, like, I think that we need to see her fight for him now. Mm-hmm. Like, just to solidify, like, okay, you really did choose him. You didn't just say you were leaving Magneto to choose him. You're choosing him. And I truly 100% believe, maybe not by the end of season one, because I think they've already been confirmed for season two and three. Not by the end of season one, though I could be wrong. I think sometime in season two, these two are getting married.
Oh, for sure. I think it'll be one of the very first things that happens, if not the first episode, where they open on such a happy, like, note. And then we get something insane. Like, they may not even reveal. I have a feeling what they're actually going to, like, what they will do, because it is still, like, a Disney Marvel Studios production, is that they're going to have Cable just come back and be like, this is how we could fix it.
I know. Yeah. You know? I'm pretty sure it's going to happen, too. I don't think we're going to get a Horseman and then season thing.
Two
but becomes, the Horseman thing would be cool.
The Horseman thing would be super cool. And then, like, season two opens with Gambit and Rogue getting married. And then immediately, now we have Apocalypse.
You know, especially like Kurt, like, last. I think Kurt saying just marry the dame already is like 100% foreshadowing to the fact that they're going to get married.
Yeah.
And that was such a big deal in the comics in 2018 when they got married, because it was like a sigh of relief of like, finally, like.
Well, yeah, but then Rogue is still always just like, should we even be married and stuff? You know, like, they're still.
Oh, yeah, they have their problems. They're always going through it. Of course. They did, like, I think before they got married, they had, like, a week of therapy. But then the therapy that they were getting was actually taking their powers and their memories. Like, so it wasn't even good therapy. It was fucked up therapy. But the promise they make to each other on that island they go to in the comics is that, you know, because she even says to Gambit, she's like, do we want all these, because, like, memories back? But we could just start fresh. And he's like, no, we do want them back. Like,
it just always reads that Gambit is more into this.
I don't know. I don't think he's more into it. I just think that Rogue is the type of person that has like this perfect ideal in her head.
Gambit is like the boy who, like, this is his first girlfriend. So he's going to do everything he can to like make the relationship last longer. Because he's like, I'll never get another one.
What? Belladonna?
I'll never find another.
Belladonna would be on him in a heartbeat.
Like, I don't think he'd really have a problem, but you know, he is still Fedora Man at the end of the day.
Oh my god. But yeah, I think that I think Rogue really does love Gambit. I think she just has a lot of trauma. A lot. And I think that's part of why in the comics she says, I don't really want these memories back. And he's like, we can work through it together, but we need them back.
Yeah.
So you know, they get them back. But I think that's always going to be true of them. They're always going to have their dark past. They're always going to have stuff they're dealing with, but they're choosing to deal with it together, which actually even goes back to what Kurt said. Like, there's no love without sin. There's no love without forgiveness.
Yeah.
Like, just everything he said was blue. So for them. So 100% for them. So, yeah, I think we're going to get a wedding. I do, because, you know, the first series, the big wedding was Jean and Cyclops. So I think the big wedding for this is going to be Gambit and Rogue.
Well, do you think that we will see the Professor come back in this season, or do you think it'll be next season?
Ooh.
Because he's for sure going to come back. Scott doesn't eat his brain. So, because we're kind of getting into a little bit of a Cyclops that just don't care.
Little evil Scott, yeah. I honestly hope we get evil Cyclops. I mean,
it'd be a nice change of pace if, like, he just goes straight up.
He's
like,
crazy in the comics.
Yeah, like, comic book.
Evil Scott.
Well, which one was that? That wasn't Axis for Extinction, where he, like, eats the Professor's brain and then is like, this is my team, and then just goes crazy or something. I don't think it was that he ate his brain. I think it was that he killed the Professor. in some manner.
To be honest, Scott has a couple times where he goes a little off the, like, when he becomes unhinged.
Yeah.
Like, he gets a little unhinged several times. Like, when he ends up getting, him and a couple other mutants end up getting, like, a divvy up of the Phoenix power. And then he ends up killing Emma Frost to take, like, every They're time.
Sure, they are for sure, like, alluding to Emma Frost, like,
oh, big her time. Diamond skin. To oh the streets, yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like, that's for sure about to happen.
There's definitely going to be some Cyclops and Emma Frost going on. It's going
to
be
Jean
there's
going to
be a
about
lot
to be
on
the
of
streets, like
there's going to be a lot of love triangles going on, and I think that's why I'm happy the Magneto one is ending, because mm-hmm. there's going to be several of those.
Yeah.
We can't, like, everyone can't be in a love triangle, because it just becomes monotonous at that point. So, like, we need, like, a couple, like, just couples, like, or single people. Like, not everyone has to be in a triangle.
There's so much story to tell that we really don't need the love triangle stuff. But unfortunately, with the X-Men lore, like, the love triangles
it's a lot of them.
Drives the story, you know? Like, it yeah. becomes, like, the central point of the story most of the time.
Big time.
So, on that note, right now, I also have been seeing the theory that they don't know if... Dr. Cooper, I believe is her name, from the United Nations, if she is in fact who she says she is.
Oh,
or
yeah.
if she is Mystique.
Mystique, yep.
And
I
then
saw
if she
people
is
talking
Mystique,
about that.
Is she working with Magneto to set this all up and make him look like a martyr to gain sympathy so he can then enact his plan to genocide the humans? Or is he truly working the professor's vision and he's trying to unite everybody? And if he is, why did you take them all to an island where they were literally away from people when Xavier wanted everyone to live together? Or do we just think that it's Sinister and Apocalypse? Or even the professor's crazy twin sister that I guess he like fetus ate at one point. I do kind of remember reading that.
My God.
And then going, what?
The fact is that
there's a plethora of options.
Like,
I have a feeling that Magneto's going to end up being working with Mystique this whole time, and that he didn't really die when the Sentinels, like, super-zooked him.
I don't think Magneto's going to stay in a, quote, good light very long. I agree with that. He's going to be a bad guy again. Come on.
He always is.
Yeah, like, he can't help it.
He just can't. And, like, it almost makes sense, you know, from, like, his backstory and stuff. And it was super cool that they actually showed flashbacks of his story, like, his concentration camps. Because I guess in the original series, they wanted to do that more with Magneto to really cement who he was. But they got told they couldn't show anything to do with it.
Which,
so
once
they
again,
changed
kids,
things.
Kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now we're like, this ain't for the kids, bro.
Yeah. So, overall, amazing. Wonderful.
Yeah, the first five episodes are very, very... I was scared that this was going to not be good.
I didn't think it wasn't going to not be good. I thought it was going to be... I was like, oh...
I thought it was like, going to be, like, okay. Like, some episodes were really good. Most were, like, okay. Kind of like how What If was, you know? Like, every once in a while, you get, like, a really good episode. But then the rest of them were just like, oh, okay, I'll watch it. But
exactly.
This is, like, I hope that they pick up... I know the next episode is Life Death Part 2. So I'm like, we probably won't see anything to do with this Genosha attack in the next episode, which is going to drive me absolutely crazy.
It's on purpose, though.
Yeah. And then the next one, episode 7, will be when they pick up. Because what's the title of the last couple episodes?
I didn't even know they released them yet.
Oh, yeah. All the titles are out now. And, like, synopsis. Okay, episode 7 is Bright Eyes, which is about Cyclops trying to find Trask about the Master Mold. Tolerance is Extinction. Part 1 through 3 will be the final episodes. So I think we'll get a resolution in those last 3 episodes.
Yeah. I just, like I said, I don't even know what to think. I'll say this. Usually I really love binging shows. I actually think what happened in episode 5 is hitting even harder and harder and harder.
Now you have to think about it.
You have to sit. No, 2.
What do you mean
because,
2?
because this next episode is probably not going to have anything to do with this.
I was like, what do you mean two? Are we not getting an episode this week?
Oh, no, you have to sit with what happened for two weeks, which is insane. Like, you're still going to get an episode.
I know the theory behind how they're going to fix this with Cable, right?
Right.
But I'm like, I want to know how.
But you want to see canonly what happens. Yes. And that's
how they're going to do it.
100%. They were so smart to do a weekly release in that regard because, like, the fact that X-Men are trending, X-Men 97 is trending. People are starting to watch X-Men that didn't watch X-Men.
They knew that this was going to be a hit. They knew that people were going to do this, which is why they didn't do the what if thing where they released a new episode daily. They just did it weekly.
Yep. To keep you talking.
Yeah.
To keep you wondering, which was so smart.
And they saw the success of that by doing it with WandaVision too.
Yep, because WandaVision was the same thing.
You know, like, it was the exact same movement, the same train of, like, everybody was just like, what is happening every week?
So, yeah. Any last thoughts or?
I mean, my last thought is still about Remember It, but it's mostly because the cover photo that IMDb has chosen for this episode is, in fact, Magneto and Rogue's two hands with Gambit in the middle. And I just think that that is so funny. Like, they chose the moment of pinnacle pain for this man.
My final thought is get fucked, everyone who hated Gambit.
Yeah, I feel like we're about to see a Gambit, like, surge.
Well, what's funny is he was super popular in the first series, too.
Yeah, he was. And then, like, he kind of tapered off in the comics. I guess he was just, like, a fedora-wearing man for a while.
That's because some people wrote him as a womanizer, like, but it's like you said, that Professor X said, like, you can play the scoundrel, but when are you going to accept that you're the hero? It's like a facade he put on to, like, keep safe, like a wall he's got put up. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah. I know. I always hear that, like, the two most disliked characters are always, like, Hawkeye and Gambit. And I just think that that is so funny all the time. Because I in actual, like, real life, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that they dislike either one of those two characters.
I've loved Gambit since day one. So everyone else get fucked. I'm just kidding. I'm happy that more people are going to like Gambit after this. That makes me very excited.
We're about to enter into an age of brand new X-Men comic storytelling. They just wrapped up the Krakoa era. I think they destroyed the island. I don't remember. I kind of fell off reading some of that for a while because there's just too many titles out.
I think I read the new Excalibur run, and that was about it, and then all the Rogue and Gambit stuff.
Yeah, I started it, and I didn't finish it, and then, like, I've started so many of them and just not completed the series. I did start to pick up, like, the Death of the X-Men stuff right towards the end of this, because we're about to get all those new titles out. I guarantee you they're going to give us a new Gambit title in the next couple months.
Yeah.
How popular he is right now.
Like, of course.
We're about to get just trench-coated.
I am on. This is the first time I'm actually, alongside Ashton, excited for toy releases.
Oh yeah, there's all kind of stuff coming out right now. They got the new figures. Did you see the new Gambit figure?
Nope, not yet.
It's hitting certain stores already.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, I mean, Ashton knows to grab it if he sees it. but yeah, so I'm very excited. I'm just excited for more to come. I'm excited to see how this goes. I love X-Men. I think I've tried talking about the X-Men or Gambit in all of our episodes.
Literally, it's been mentioned in every single episode that we've ever had. Like,
I can't help myself.
That we have ever had.
Yeah, I can't. This has been my, like, long-standing hyperfixation, and I'm never going to shut up ever again. They didn't reignite it. They just, like, poured a can of gasoline on a fire that was already out of control.
I'm just... They were like, we're going to stop this grease fire with water.
Oh, no, what have we done?
I'm just so happy that it's trending right now because that means we're about to get, like, a ton of new merch for X-Men. And you know how I feel about merch because merch leads to t-shirts, which I love, which leads to...
Oh, I'm getting that Gambit crop top. Yeah, I'm buying that.
Like, it all leads back to more things for the nerds to have. Trendier the item gets. So I love when things blow up on the internet because then they just release so much stuff for us.
They're like, let us profit off this. And we're like, yes, profit off of us.
Some people get mad when, like, their favorite thing starts trending because they just want to gatekeep it and be like, I loved it before it was popular. And I'm like, blow it up.
Blow it up.
Blow it up. Give me more.
So I can have more stuff. Yep.
I could buy a Coke case right now with Daredevil on it. I couldn't do that.
Two years ago. Okay. Back in the day.
So, back in my day, there was no Daredevil on a their Coke can.
On a their Coke can.
So I didn't drink Coke.
All right. Well, we could probably go on forever, which is an issue.
For sure. We could for sure go on. And just about the first five episodes. Like, we still have, I think, five more to go.
Yep. So we'll do that. We might have to break down the next five split up.
We're going to break them down split. We had some issues going on. We could probably do
like, we could probably do like, the first two and then the last three, since they go together, it seems like. So, but yeah, thank you guys for listening. As always, to us rant about our passions. It's great. And, you know, I can't feel you.
I just can't feel you.
I just can't feel you.
Gambit don't like this.
Poor Rogue. Poor Scarlet. They just can't feel their men.
Yeah, because they're dead.
Yeah, they're dead. Damn.
To be fair, she said several times in this episode that she already could not feel him, that she knew his heart beat for her, but she could not feel it.
Listen, it so, hit different when he was dead.
She was never feeling it. She was never feeling it.
Okay. Whatever, get out of here. Goodbye.
All right. Bye.